We'll climb into the August 18th, 2012 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with a rain report that will challenge your fear of heights. Every year we learn of folks who are severely injured and sometimes killed as a result of climbing a tower. One ham who has been climbing towers for almost 50 years is Phil Theiss, K3TUF. Phil presented a paper at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention entitled Tower Climbing, Safety, and Rescue. This week, we bring you the first of two excerpts from his talk.
When I was climbing as a younger person, I did some really crazy things, and I'm sure you could all tell us some stories about climbing 200 and some feet, free climbing, and I know you've all seen the video at 1,700 feet with free climbing. That's nuts. I don't do this for a living. I never did. But I'm a certified tower climbing and rescue. I want to propagate keeping us all safe. So let's talk about the negatives. What should we look out for? The hazards. There's three areas we'll cover. First, environmental. In terms of rules, wind, I have a threshold. You can set your own threshold. My threshold somewhere in the single digits. If it's going to be 15 miles per hour or higher, I don't like to climb. It's not that it's not safe, but you'll have your own personal threshold where you're not comfortable climbing. Moisture, rain, absolutely not. You never climb when the tower is wet. Lightning, I can recall being in Florida doing some tower work. That was in the 70s. In Florida, in Orlando, we would be doing some work, and certainly in the afternoon, we'd see the storm coming off in the distance. We'd have to come down and come back later. Sun is a real hazard in terms of sunscreen, long sleeve shirts, etc. Live hazards. Last year, when I first went climbing to do a little bit of work, that's a rotating tower. There's the guy ring I had secured above the guy ring. Then I got stung in the nose, and I look and saw the swarm. I had to reach up and unconnect myself from that hornet's nest. It wasn't that big when I first did that, but 1 week later when I finally got rid of it, it was that big. On the ground, you have to be careful. Snakes, rodents. Probably one of the most dangerous hazards you have to look out for, perhaps, is humans. What are they doing on the ground? What are they doing? Be careful. And the bottom line is, do an assessment. Is it safe? Is there any hazard you need to look out for? And set your rules for climbing in terms of wet. Structural hazards, look out for. If it's your tower, you're probably going to be in good tune with what the condition is. But if you're going to climb somebody else's tower, you want to inspect every guy anchor. You look at the point of daylight. That's the point where it actually comes out of the ground. Check the turnbuckles, guy tension, and you don't have to put the loose gauge on there, but make sure that it's not swaying. Look at the coating. Has the rust taken over, or are there any real dangerous parts that you should perhaps not climb? And then, is the tower plumb? If it's leaning, you want to find out why. Is it torqued or turned? Those are hazards, and you really don't want to climb. Tools, particularly what you're going to learn a little bit about, your protective equipment. Are they in good condition? Are your hand tools in good condition? You don't want your pliers to fall apart. Just basic common sense stuff here. Most importantly, what is the plan? Put your techniques together. Do you have an idea? Run through that in your head. I'm often doing this a day or two ahead of time before any of the assisting crew is going to show up. Make sure that you know all the tasks you're going to do, and then make sure everybody that's there helping you or doing the work knows what the task at hand will be. And of course, be sure you take everything that you need along with you. That's a real downer. If, we need something, you have to wait for it to be brought up, and you certainly don't want to have to go down and get it yourself. These are the tools and the tasks that we'll go over. Rigging, rope is very important, and block and tackle. You want to make the work as simple as possible. You want to give yourself every advantage that you possibly can. Know your knots. There's whole books on knots. These are two basic knots, the bowline, the overhand knot that you'll use. Jin Paul, use that to, again, accelerate and give yourself the advantage of building a tower if you're putting it together. And a lot of times when you're putting antennas up, replacing antennas, just last Saturday, we replaced a 6-meter beam at my place. I had to get a 50-foot boom up there. Using the right tools is very important. Winches are very helpful. An alternative to winches is a good ground crew, definitely more than one person on the load rope when you're pulling it up. But if you can get your hands on a capstan winch, that's a great tool to have. Lay out your hand tools, make sure they're safe. One thing I wanted to add here, I always take water up with me. You don't know how long you're going to be. Hydrating is very important. We don't often think of that as we're younger, but I know we think of it more as we age. And if I know I'm going to have a long session, I'll even take some snacks up, some crackers. That way, while you're waiting for some of the work down below for the next phase, you get a little nourishment. It's just only going to help you. This is a comfort thing. Some people don't use belts, but a nice bag, they're real handy. Okay, the climb itself, let's talk about that. First of all, in getting in shape, it's very important that you do a little bit of exercise before. Stretching is important. You don't want to cramp when you're up on the tower. You might be contorting into some very difficult directions. So a good set of stretches before you go up is very important.
You're listening to a 2012 Hamvention Talk by Phil Theis, K3TUF. A veteran tower climber who's been climbing antenna towers for almost 50 years. We'll conclude the first excerpt from his talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available on Twitter.
Another thing that you really have to concentrate on is climbing with your legs, not your arms. You've probably seen that written down. But the tendency is always going to be that you want to clasp yourself close to that tower. It's your safety. And so the tendency is always to pull yourself up with your arms. But you don't want to overuse at different times those muscles in your arms because you want to save that energy and you don't want your arms to cramp. You have to concentrate on this and actually say, I'm climbing with my legs. My arms are just here to keep me close to the tower. That's something you really need to work on. Another thing is pausing and resting frequently. You'll get your own rhythm as to when you want to pause, and I use my pulse. I know that I can tell when my heart is racing at a little faster speed, so I'll go maybe 20 feet. I know I've got a little bit of pulse, and then I'll pause as soon as my pulse goes down. But you can use your own methods. Good deep breaths. It's always just very good for feeding the whole skeletal muscular system. And always wear all of your protective equipment. Even more important than that is being connected. That's out with the old. You don't free climb. No exception to that. And the work. I'm going to go through just a few slides here using techniques that make the work easier. Slings are a great tool to have. It's very inexpensive. You get a little $1 clip and some good, simple, easy-to-use rope with some loops, and you have them with you. They're very easy to put on and take off. Very handy tools to get the work job done. Using tram lines, we won't get into detail about that. This is just a high level to say, use methodologies that are going to make your work accomplished safer. So how about the safety equipment? Let's get into that. First, a first aid kit. Make sure one is on site and everybody knows where it is. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have somebody around that's capable of CPR, but it's priceless if an accident happens. You've got to have one around. Then hard hats. Hard hats for everybody, the ground and the tower. So, I don't need them when I'm climbing the tower. Well, it's not just because I don't have a lot of natural protection, but I can smack my head very easily. Antennas are outside the scope of the width of the tower. You could bump into that. I mean, it all depends on what is on your tower, but you really need to have a hard hat. And especially those on the ground. Foot protection, very important in terms of the shank, and especially for the ground crew, because things could fall, could be dropped, an antenna, a boom, and so forth. Gloves. I always wear gloves, even in the summertime, even when it's warm. Your hands are your most valuable tool, so you've got to protect your tools. Safety glasses. Earplugs, I'd say, are optional if you're not going to do anything that's loud, but if you're going to be drilling, earplugs. Skin protection, very, very important. I would recommend using long sleeves, even in the summer, long pants. You're going to get less scrapes. You're not going to be scraped. And most important, sunscreen. If you're going to be outside, put the sunscreen on. My own personal reason for that is, as you get older, I'm told now by the doctor, as I have my skin cancer, it's because you had too much sun when you were younger. So you that are younger, don't think you shouldn't have sunscreen. Everybody should have sunscreen.
This concludes the first of two excerpts we'll be bringing you from a 2012 Dayton Hamvention talk given by veteran tower climber Phil Theis, K3TUF. We'll hear more about tower climbing safety next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.